and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Hurricane Milton is racing toward Florida's west coast this morning as a downgraded but still treacherous Category 4 with winds of almost 155 miles an hour. Forecasters are warning of storm surge up to 15 feet. State Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie.
If they have called for your evacuation order, I beg you, I implore you to evacuate.
The rush is on to get out. Correspondent Christian Benavides is in Tampa.
Heavy highway traffic Monday showed that many Floridians are heeding those warnings, with a deadly storm surge as high as 15 feet forecast for some areas. Those planning to ride out the storm lined up for hours to fill sandbags.
With the last storm, we got flooded. So it's all about prepping this time.
Also to buy gasoline and dwindling supplies at stores, where some shelves are already empty.
Tampa Bay hasn't been hit directly by a major hurricane since 1921. Israel says it's killed a senior Hezbollah commander in a strike on Beirut, a day after the one-year anniversary of Hamas' October 7th attack. The BBC's Yoland Nell has more from Jerusalem.
Israel's military says that Suhail Husseini, the commander of Hezbollah's headquarters, oversaw logistics. He's described as having played a crucial role in weapons transfers with Iran. Hezbollah has not confirmed that he's been killed.
Former President Donald Trump spoke at an event commemorating October 7th at his Doral Golf Club in Miami.
October 7th was not just the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust. It was not just the worst terror attack since 9/11. It was an attack on humanity itself.
Vice President Harris sat for an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes. She told correspondent Bill Whitaker.
Small businesses are part of the backbone of America's economy.
But pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
Well, one of the things is I'm going to make sure that the richest among us who can afford it pay their fair share in taxes.
Harris revealed the handgun she owns is a Glock, and she says she knows how to use it. The Supreme Court takes up the issue of ghost guns today. CBS News legal contributor Caroline Polizzi.
Gun rights advocates argue that the Gun Control Act of 1968, their definition of a firearm doesn't apply here because ghost guns, you purchase in parts, or you can purchase in parts and assemble at home.
McDonald's has a beef with producers. It's suing Tyson Foods, JBS, and others, accusing them of conspiring to drive up meat prices. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us on the next Midday Magazine as we welcome in part one our good friends from the heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, and in part two, Realty Radio with David Farnborough. That's 4 to 5 on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A woman from North Carolina is waiting out the aftermath of Hurricane Helene in central Wisconsin. Melissa Kay has her story.
Andrea Ducklow said while things are devastated in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, people are getting help. But the spread of misinformation on social media is causing harm, too.
Don't politicize our disaster because there's a lot of people missing. There's a lot of people that have died. And there's a lot of people that lost everything.
I'm Melissa Kay.
A man is in jail after a weekend standoff in Waukesha. Police responded to a domestic incident on Saturday. The man barricaded himself in his home by the time officers arrived. De-escalation efforts failed, so officers used tear gas. The alleged victim and two police officers suffered minor injuries. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
A Badger named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. Wisconsin Badgers Trek Kekahuna named Big Ten Freshman of the Week. 6 catches and 2 touchdowns against Purdue. Head coach Luke Fickell says running back Tywee Walker looked good as the game wore on.
It gave Tywee an opportunity probably to truly kind of see what he can establish, you know, and even, you know, being physical at that. I think those kinds of guys do gain momentum after taking hits.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers host the Arizona Cardinals Sunday. Matt LaFleur says says he expects Romeo Doubs will be back after meeting with the suspended wide receiver yesterday. Jaire Alexander says Doubs is one of their best receivers.
I always want to go against Doubs. I mean, dude's freaking really good. I mean, he come in his rookie year not catching a single pass on me, and now he's in contested. We're going up for 50-50 balls now. I mean, he's a pro. You know, he goes about it the right way. He comes in. I mean, he catches 100 balls, just more after practice. His attention to detail is very on point.
That's the Packers, Jaire Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Congressman Mark Pocan stops by for an update on Congress hobbling toward the finish line and a visit from State Assembly Rep Jody Emerson.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Schwabe.
I've become a bad... Look, I love getting texts. And I kind of slacked off there for a while. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite video game? Super Mario, they're making a sequel. And, you know, it kind of called attention to the fact that I haven't played video games. All these video games Conrad is talking about, my son plays, I just am not familiar with them. So I wanted to take a trip down memory lane. My favorite, I would probably say, is Space Invaders. I've offered that up. Conrad, what was yours?
I didn't give mine yet. I would say, though, it is Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is fun. You and Chris Casper, you can sit on Chris's porch.
Yeah.
That does sound like a lot of fun. Anna says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite video game is Pac-Man. I mean, you know a video game is huge when they write a song about it and it makes the top 40 and it's a terrible song. That's huge. Thank you, Anna. Jim from Appleton says, the game was simply called Real, R-E-A-L. It was a zombie apocalypse in space kind of game for PCs before consoles took off. I don't remember that one, but I do remember when you had to play them on your computer before, you know, you had access to, like, the PlayStations. And Bridget says, Space Invaders, love the pew-pew sound. All right, I can get on board with that. Aunt Carla, Conrad's aunt, checking in. She says, we finally got to listen to the show tonight. Grandma Krieger is listening. Plus, we got our Charo tickets in Baraboo this Friday at the beautiful Al Ringling Theater. Very excited. Charo would be very excited. Should we have tried to get your aunt comps?
Maybe we probably should have.
She makes the big bucks, though. Your grandma's going to love that show. I don't know your grandma, but I know she's going to love Charo, because who doesn't? All right, so keep those texts coming, folks. What is your favorite video game? You can go back 50 years. You can go back to Pong if you want. And there's a certain sweetness and an innocence to Pong. There's no blood. There's no ultra-competitiveness. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome one of our frequent flyers here at Nightlight. She's in studio like you
Yay,
always are.
Hello.
I love it.
I know.
Heather
I actually
Hiles
had
here.
This really fun conversation tonight about why are you going into the studio? Like, all the
Who
other guests,
that?
Like, come in, my friend. I'm like, why do you go there? Like, why don't you just call in?
Oh, that's not true.
I would yeah. like, come in, see Pete, hang out, have
people,
some fun. Conrad,
people
all the
that
text,
are local.
All the things.
Typically come in if they live close
okay,
by.
Good.
And some have even kind of driven. We had the whiskey, the distillery people. They drove
yeah.
like an hour and a half to be here.
Awesome.
And but it's always more fun to have people
Agreed.
In the studio, I think. So it's great to have you here as always. Do you have a favorite video game?
You know what? I don't really play video games. I mean, I go back to like when you would go to an arcade and play.
Yeah, that's okay.
And Pong and that. I mean, Pac-Man, there was an Elvira game that was really fun.
Okay.
There actually, I was just in Las Vegas and they have a bar called No Quarters, but it's all quarters and it's all video games. And Dan and I went in there and ripped it up. Man, it was
wow.
so fun. Like, we just were like.
Why do they call it No Quarters?
I don't know. Because you need quarters to play, because you're playing the video games. But it was really a fun time.
No, remember when you used to have to go in and exchange your quarters for tokens?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a scam and unnecessary busy work was that?
I know. It was just job, justification.
I guess so.
Maybe.
I don't know. So you don't have a favorite necessarily?
I mean, probably the Pac-Man.
What about pinball?
Love pinball.
Pinball's fun.
Yes, love the pinball. Also, we had an Atari, and then we had the first Nintendo that came out.
Yes.
And so, like, the Duck Hunt and the first Super Mario.
Loved Duck Hunt.
Loved both of those. Like, was the master of those. And then I just was like, eh.
Yeah. You know where I lost? I kind of really, my biggest phase in video games was we held out for quite a while with our kids. We did not buy video games until my son was like 11 or 10 and my daughter was 5. We got a Wii, and mm-hmm. Wii is really fun.
Wii is fun. I love the bowling and the tennis. And as you got older,
box.
Yes, yeah. And have friends over, maybe have some beverages while you're doing it. Mm-hmm.
Love the beverage. Here was my routine for the longest time. And this was how I transitioned from Southern California back to Wisconsin, was Wii Golf.
Yes.
I used to put Wii Golf on when everybody was asleep. I'd pour like a half a glass of scotch, and I'd play Wii Golf, and I'd sip my scotch, and it was amazing. And then when we moved here, and I was like, well, this is a constant, regardless of where I am, my family's with me, and I'm back home, I'm going to put on Wii Golf, and I'm going to have some scotch. And
it was relaxing. It was your thing.
Phenomenal. Yes. And golf, Wii Golf is like, Conrad, have you played Wii Golf?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you good at that?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. Yeah. I know the cheats and stuff on it.
Okay.
Oh, what are the cheats?
I didn't know what?
No, not actual like cheats. It's just ways of hitting it so it does something.
Okay, right.
Oh, something cooler. Else that you wanted to do? Yeah.
I don't want to brag, but I'm a scratch Wii golfer.
Nice.
And so I love Wii.
Yeah.
Those were some amazing games.
That and the Guitar Hero. Like, I'm amazing Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I can't play guitar, but Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero, yeah.
Rock and roll.
And you said Mario Kart. And like Chris Casper said, you really don't have to have much talent to play.
No.
Is that the one where they're just racing around, right?
Yeah. I mean, it takes a little bit of skill, I think.
Okay.
Because you got to know to like turn and get away from obstacles is what I was going to say. So.
Yeah, that's video game bare basics, right? Like, don't
but there's
hit stuff.
There's tricks in everyone. Like, if you do different combinations and stuff. Yeah, like even when Conrad was talking about the golf.
I remember guys in college that would smoke weed all afternoon and play Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. And they knew about you can unlock like 80 princesses. No, not 80, but thousands of gold coins and multiple hundreds of lives. And I'm like, and I even remember thinking, I don't want to ever get that good at this game that I'm sitting there for hours. Like, it's fun to play,
right?
But I just don't care that much.
And those guys are probably like multi-billionaires who design video games
code,
to do the same thing, writing those codes.
Finding the back way in to get all the coins. So that's cool. All right. So tell us, you're the business director at the Green Bay Children's Museum. There's a lot of business going on over there.
There is so much business
that's
going on
there. It's a great museum.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tell us what is happening. What can we look forward to?
Well, we are now going into fall season, so we have our big Halloween Boozeum party coming up. It's a family Halloween costume party.
Boo. Because you said booze and in Wisconsin.
Not
booze. Be careful.
Not booze. Boo.
It's a family event.
Museum. Family event at the museum. Really geared towards children ages 2 to 9 years old. The whole family can dress up, just the kiddos can dress up. It's an $8 admission fee and it includes all of the fun stuff. So there's scavengers hunts. The Bayport Chemistry Club is coming. And they're going to do a bunch of science experiments with you, making Beetlejuice and making Dippin' Dots. And
that you can eat? Like,
yeah,
right
that you can eat the actual Dippin' Dots.
Oh, that sounds really fun.
So just some really fun stuff and a really safe way to celebrate Halloween.
For $8. That's
at the museum.
That's,
I know.
I got that
how
kind
much
of money.
The last time you went to a movie, how much was it?
More than $8.
Yeah, there you go.
And I didn't get Dippin' Dots. Our theater does not have Dippin' Dots or Beetlejuice.
You need a new theater. Yes. that's coming up October, I have the date written down here in my little notes here. October 25th.
October 25th. Oh, that's right around the corner. Okay,
it is.
So
it's a Friday evening.
Do you guys ever do like a haunted house there or anything?
We don't. We have talked about it. We would have to do not so scary hours and those types of things. So, it's kind of we've decorated with skeletons at the museum before and it's been an issue. So,
really?
Yeah, and we just don't want it to be a terrifying experience for any child there, so.
You're really the one that's scared of skeletons, aren't you?
It's me. It is 100% me. I'm just displacing it on all the poor little
innocent children. You go to the board and you go, yeah. Look, I'm all about the kids, and we're scaring them.
I want that ginormous skeleton that you can buy at like the big box stores right now.
Get rid of the skeletons. Take down the spiders. Somebody please think of the children.
And give them candy. A ton of candy.
All right. So you got Boozy. I love that. That's a great title. What else? What's going on? What you got stuff leading up to the holidays?
Yeah, we're really starting to ramp up for the holidays. So actually last month I was booking all of my Santas. Yes, I have a direct dial to the big guy in red.
Really?
He is signed, sealed, and delivered. Some reindeer are coming on a couple occasions with us. Live reindeer, his reindeer at the museum, right? So after the Green Bay Holiday Parade that Saturday, shoot on over to the Children's Museum of Green Bay. Santa and his reindeer will be there.
That is cool.
It is our holiday extravaganza, so you can sit in a warm atmosphere.
Yeah.
Tell them what's on your list. Talk to them. Frank and Amy are coming to do some caroling.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, just a really fun day, and that kind of just gets us into all of that. We have a breakfast with Santa and... yeah, all of the good stuff. And a kids' Rockin' Eve party. We're already talking about New Year's Eve. I'm so sorry. But
that's the depressing one, I think. Like, I could even now, talking about Christmas, I know it's only October, but I can kind of get on board with that because that's just a fun holiday. New Year's is like a great follow-up. Well, Christmas is over, but at least we have New Year's. Mm-hmm. But looking ahead to New Year's at this point, too soon, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. Planning perspective, absolutely right now. But just save the date.
Yeah.
Back of your mind. Something for the kiddo. You can wear them out. It's at noon. Out. Oh, yeah. And then wear them out. They're sleeping.
Tell them 8 o'clock is midnight.
This is when we ring in the new year.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you need peripheral Santa Clauses?
Conrad, you in?
If you
could help me.
A little nightlight promotion.
Speed dial? Okay, maybe. Mm-hmm.
My wife's brother is like in good shape, but he has gray hair and he has a white beard and his coworkers at the school he teaches at call him Skinny Santa.
Oh, yes.
So it could be, not every Santa has to be huge, right?
They do not.
Conrad and I are more on the muscular side, so we could.
You could do whatever with that. Yeah. Santa comes in all different forms.
We could be like the David Harbour in the holiday film. We'll be there to kick some ass if we need to.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so you got Boozium right around the corner. Can people just show up or do they need tickets?
They can just show up. Okay. We would prefer you pre-register. That just ensures that we don't run out of supplies, that I have enough time to make sure I have enough things for you.
Yeah.
Members are free as always, but they know that. But yeah, otherwise it's $8 a person to come in.
How much is a membership? Like if I wanted to go full-blown museum member?
Yeah, so many different levels of memberships. You can do a sustaining membership where it's $10 a month. You pay $10 a month. You can do a single parent membership for $80 a month.
Do you have a creepy single guy membership?
That would be a single parent membership.
Oh, but he's a single parent. Guardian. He's not creepy, but just the guy that
Well, no, not just a guy. Every child needs an adult. Every adult needs a child.
I think that's smart.
No, every
time. I think that's smart. Okay.
You get weird right away. Why do we gotta get weird with the kids?
I just go to like, because to me, there's nothing funnier sometimes. Not like guys that actually do stuff, but it's a single guy in a van. My mind immediately goes to, this guy's up to no good here.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Is that wrong? Am I just too jaded of a human being?
No, I feel that way with some people too, where I'm like, oh, wait, okay, what's happening here?
Check this guy out. He's parking in the A lot.
Profile.
Put a man on him.
Okay, yep.
All right.
Call the cops.
Heather Heil is here. We have a lot to talk about. Maybe we're going to start the next segment with Tostitos and salsa, a new dish. I want to run it past Heather and get her opinion and Conrad's as well. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I don't call radio stations very often.
Your calls are the best calls.
And keeping you inspired and informed is part of the Civic Media vision.
Thank you very much for broadcasting the Liz Cheney question and answer. I really appreciated that, hearing her voice, and for you to broadcast it like that was wonderful.
Listen to the Liz Cheney interview now on our website, civicmedia.us. Real news and great conversation.
Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
The Todd Alba Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community and look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And Carla says her favorite video game is Donkey Kong. Forgot about Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah.
Kong. Yeah, mm-hmm. And Uncle Jim is Centipede, another great one. Cousin Charlotte doesn't have one. Is there a family reunion at your aunt's house
right
now?
Yeah, what's happening?
Did she make a bunch of phone calls?
Yeah.
I love it.
Just got to know everyone's favorite video game now.
That's a prerequisite in the Krieger family.
You could totally like do something for Christmas with that, Conrad, by the way. Like those, like get them some fun gifts with that.
Yeah. All right, you guys are all getting t-shirts. That's it.
Perfect.
I was thinking more along the lines of the actual games, but yeah, I'll
t-shirt.
Take some swag. T-shirt works. Last year you didn't get me anything, so I'll take a t-shirt. How about a nice tube top?
You know, I like your shirt, though.
That's mm-hmm. your go-to. Mm-hmm.
Before we go further, can we talk about your last guest for just 2 seconds?
Yeah, she's great.
She was wonderful. And on my drive in and listening to her, I thought to myself, why in the world are we still talking about this? What kind of planet are we living on where we're still talking about women trying to break a glass ceiling?
I know.
To do these things. Well, it doesn't matter. You are either qualified for their job or you are not.
Right.
Nothing else matters.
It honestly, and I like what I said to her was when I saw that movie, The Peacemaker, I didn't love the movie. George Clooney was in it.
Sure.
And the director, Mimi, I can't remember her last name, but I watched it and I'm like, well, this is just like I went into it. And this is my own ignorance or the age I was at thinking, what am I going to see with a female-directed movie?
Well, right.
And I'm like, you know, are they going to, like, start knitting in the middle of the movie and discussing their problems?
Is everyone going to cry all the time?
Yeah, they're like, going to have a stitching bitch between gunfights. And no, it was just an action movie. It was no different.
You wouldn't know. If you didn't know or pay any attention to that, you wouldn't know.
And I felt really silly after. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I cannot believe I...
Right.
And it's like they had the discussions years ago. Well, can an African-American coach a head football team or play quarterback? It's like I couldn't believe they were having those conversations then.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows you how backwards and how it's really troubling. So and the fact that we're talking about this after that movie came out in 97, just to use that as a barometer.
Sure.
It's almost 30 years ago. And it's like,
it's still happening.
Yeah. Catherine Bigelow has directed action films. And, obviously, you got Nora Ephron, Sofia Coppola, one of my exes. I agree with you. But she was great. She was a good guest.
She was wonderful.
I love people that speak about film and stuff like that. And you said, how am I supposed to follow that?
I know.
I'm not expecting you to break down cinema.
I went to Old Fashioned Fest last week. Okay, here I come.
Did you really go?
I did.
Was that the one at the Resch Center?
It was.
We had...
did you go? Were you there?
No, we had the guy who runs the Resch Center. He was on the show. Great
Terry
guy.
Terry Charles.
No, it was not Terry Charles.
Jeff Mitchell.
Jeff Mitchell. Okay.
He was so much fun. And he told us all about it. Give us a breakdown of that.
It was awesome. It was so, so great.
Because everything was free?
Well, no, it's not. You pay for your ticket.
Right.
It's $100 a person to get in. Whoa. There are 20. No, whoa, whoa, whoa. There are 20 vendors.
Yeah.
And they each, and this is like high-end vendors, so it's nice places in Green Bay.
Okay.
And they are playing to win. So each of them, 20 vendors, had two old fashions each. One was like a standard old fashion, and one was like a la-la-la, sha-sha-sha, something. Like amazing.
End.
Yeah. And like high-end whiskeys, and I mean, awesome.
Do you go whiskey with the old fashioned? Or
yeah.
Brandy?
And there's some had too, brandy, but and it was like all over the board. And it was like, if you would say a regular old fashioned is 8 ounces, these were like 4 ounces. So basically,
so
you were drinking 20 old fashions if you really, really wanted to. Now, I did not, because I'm not a maple syrup fan. So there were some maple syrup flavored old fashions. So I didn't drink those. But that was just a flavor preference for me.
So you drank 16 old fashions.
Yeah, I just had 16 instead
but
of the 20.
Does the maple syrup, that aren't they sweet enough? That seems like it would compromise the drink.
I see. Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. But other people really loved that.
That's really interesting. So it's fun.
And they
we'll
have food there. And so they do it once a year. And it sells out quickly. So if you're interested in going, do that. I know also in Wild Rose, they do one in June. So just keep your eyes peeled for those. And there's Facebook pages and those things.
It's much
watch.
Safer now. They used to have Old Fashioned Fest and then see who can drive home the fastest.
No,
that
we don't do that. So
well.
We need to Uber.
Well, you're saying we. Did you have something to do with this?
No.
Were you involved in? Oh. Okay.
No, I pretend I am. I take ownership of all these
the
things. Like, yes, I drank the drinks. Of course, I was part of it. I ate the food. I did the things. They had music there. And it's really just a great space over there. So if you have not been to that space for an event, yeah, check it out.
I haven't been there in a while, but I have been there, and it is beautiful. What if they had – all right, I saw this today. This is called Julian Edelman's snack. It's called salsa cereal. Did you read about this, Conrad?
No, but that sounds awful.
So it's
it does sound awful.
Yeah. You get a – well, don't judge. Hold on. You get a bowl full of salsa, and you crush – a ton of Tostitos into the salsa, and then you spoon it out and eat it like it's, you know, Lucky Charms.
No. Why would you do that?
Because dipping a chip in is a lot of work, apparently, for some people. No, I would do it maybe if you had, like, a ton of chips in there, but...
It gets soggy.
Yeah.
Like, I am the person when I ordered nachos that the chips are on the side. Like, put the nachos...
Okay.
And don't put the chips under there, because...
I agree with that.
No. Uh-uh, absolutely not. So this is the same thing to me, in there.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why, you know, first of all, they made the chips with the scoop. They could not make it easier.
The scoops. I love the scoops. You, Conrad? Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm scoops, a scoops guy.
I think those are the best.
I agree.
Agreed. And you still get that crunch. And why would you put it in there? And calling it cereal for some reason is super offensive to me.
Yeah, I love that you're offended.
Like, why? It's not cereal.
That's what it says. Tortilla chips aren't cheap, so do you ever stretch a bag by awkwardly trying to dip any fragments into the salsa? This is for the chips that are left on the bottom. This could fix that. Tostitos says they spotted a new trend on social media called salsa cereal, and apparently former NFL wide receiver Julian Edelman was an early adopter. I don't understand the connection. Well, this guy played in the NFL, and he eats it.
So he eats it this way, so now we need to do this.
Right.
His
process is simple. You take a handful of tortilla chips, crush them into a bowl, top it with salsa, and go to town. I can think of about a million other snacks.
Right? Hard pass.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. All right, so when we come back, this is what we're going to do. Heather sent me a list of her, what do you call it, a web?
My spider web.
Spider web brain and random notes. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna ask her about the things on our list, and we're going to decipher them. And we're going to talk about our favorite hour-long dramas from the 90s and early 2000s, something people apparently don't watch anymore. So we'll do that next on Nightlight after award-winning news here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
Yeah. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Milton is barreling towards Florida's Gulf Coast as a downgraded but still extremely dangerous Category 4 storm. The rush is on to evacuate. This woman was stocking up in St. Augustine.
Paper towel, water, and canned food boxes, everything. A lot of people is like going crazy buying stuff.
A day after the one-year anniversary of the October 7th attack, Israel's military says it's killed a senior Hezbollah commander in a strike on Beirut. The BBC's Hugo Bachegas in Beirut.
We haven't seen any statement from Hezbollah yet, but these targeted assassinations continue. Israel has managed to essentially decimate the entire leadership of Hezbollah.
The Supreme Court takes up the issue of ghost guns. Legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
The question is whether the government can require certain restrictions for really these self-assembly gun kits.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A rescue team is back in Wisconsin after helping with Hurricane Helene recovery in North Carolina. 16 members of Wisconsin Task Force 1 brought supplies for victims like inflatable boats, life jackets, and protective gear. They arrived at Volk Field on Saturday. The team's leader says they'll return to North Carolina if they're needed. A federal judge is ordering a Rusk County township to bring back its electronic voting machines. James Kelly reports.
The injunction requires the town of Thornapple to offer an accessible voting system at all of their polling places for the November 5th election. The Department of Justice filed a complaint in September alleging that the town had not provided the accessible voting machines to ensure voters with disabilities were able to participate in the April and August elections. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Attention Bear fans. No, not those kind. The Bear will be back for a season 4, and actress Sarah Paulson, who plays Cousin Michelle in the show, indicated she will be back as well. The actress indicated as much while discussing her new horror film, Hold Your Breath, with the New York Post. Hold Your Breath dropped last Thursday on Hulu to pretty mediocre reviews. The film also stars fellow The Bear cast member and two-time Emmy winner Ebon Moss-Bacharach. Season 4 of The Bear could return as early as 2025. In How Clueless Can You Possibly Be news, a man approached Sean Combs' ex, Young Miami, and asked her to sign a bottle of baby oil. The rapper was sitting in an SUV when the fan approached and asked her through an open window to sign his toiletry. The FBI uncovered thousands of bottles of baby oil from Combs' homes in Miami and Los Angeles earlier this year. The only thing that could make this story even weirder is if it was totally random and the guy had no knowledge of Sean Combs' scandal. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Law Forward's General Counsel Jeff Mandel to talk about voting rights and the threat that the MAGA cult poses to our election processes.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. From the 920, Asteroids and Centipede. Was I thinking of asteroids before? I said Space Invaders. I think I like Asteroids better. Yes, I am with you, 920. I got my games mixed up. Asteroids, the 920 writes, Asteroids and Centipede, along with Pac-Man for arcade video games. All I had at home as a kid was Pong on a black and white TV. Conrad, that's the equivalent of Sad Gelato for video games.
I've played it.
Yeah. You've played Pong?
Yeah.
Yes.
My dad played it, and he had one, actually, and when I was younger, I played it at my grandma's house.
What'd you think of that?
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get really into it.
Does it get faster?
No. A little bit, I believe it does. Yeah. It starts really slow, and then it gets a little faster.
But those aren't the video games. Like they say, kids that are good at video games now because they have the good hand control go into the military and do drone strikes, that ain't happening with Pong.
No.
Those are like the...
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Keep those texts coming, folks. What is your favorite video game? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Heather Heil is here spending hour number two with us as we broadcast live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. It is gorgeous out there, isn't it, tonight?
It is stunning. This week is like the perfect fall week. I'm so excited for this weather.
You know, my wife and I were talking about that. If this is climate change and it means 70-degree weather through most of October, I am not in favor of climate change.
No.
I know that very bad things will happen, but as someone
Happening in other regions.
Correct.
Yes.
But, you know, people, I don't know,
but
there's like supposed to be this
here. Yeah.
Big migration to Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin in 20 years. Our property values are going to be through the roof.
Buy, purchase, purchase, purchase.
That's all I'm saying. I could be talked into selling.
It's going to be snowbird reverse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to go to Arizona anyway. All right. So during the break, you were telling me you were watching the Menendez brothers. I cannot bring myself to watch that on Netflix. How do you
Friends.
Feel?
Friends, I totally got sucked into that rabbit hole this last weekend.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I'll just watch one episode and see. And I couldn't really remember what the story was based on. I mean, I knew these two brothers were accused of killing their mother and father, but I didn't really know how it ended and what all of the details were. Oh, my stars. First and foremost, there's a lot of crying from the brothers in this as you're watching. Like, I didn't cry at all. But watching them, there's a lot of crying and a lot of emotion. And it's just...
remorseful crying or crying that we're in trouble or crying that...
All of it. And sometimes you're like, you're fake crying. And it was just these brothers, at the end of the day, I feel are complete psychopaths.
Wow.
At the end of my perspective after watching that, and I was sharing with you also, I want to be really careful with that because I have very strong feelings about the Stephen Avery piece that I watched as well. And I felt one way towards that, and the documentary kind of pushed it another way. So just watching that of like, okay, they're kind of manipulating a little bit how you're feeling there. But it was also the factual things. Like, I didn't realize the O.J. Simpson trial had an impact on that case, and all of the abuse and book deals and all of that stuff that was, I mean, that was so new then.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, we were talking about the Avery case. I'm going to run these three trials by you. First thing that comes to your mind, guilty or innocent? O.J.
Guilty.
Avery.
Guilty.
Menendez brothers.
Guilty.
Oh,
okay, sorry.
I'm glad you're not on the jury if Conrad ever goes down for some major crime.
Sorry. I just...
I'll be a character witness, buddy. Don't worry.
I firmly believe you are innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
But there are some just tells with
things.
No, but
things. If you did it, you did it. Yeah.
Yeah, just and with the Menendez brothers, they're 100% they did it.
Yeah, correct. And they admitted it.
They've admitted it.
Yeah.
There's tapes, there's books, there's everything. They did it. But they're just because of our legal system, they're going to reopen this in November of this year.
Why are they? But is that
because they found
of appeal after appeal?
Something with a mistrial from the last time when they were convicted because some form of evidence or something wasn't put in. So they're now like 55 years old, both of that, well, in that range.
Right.
And They weren't supposed to have any parole. They were trying to give them the death penalty. And they were able to not give them the death penalty.
They're in California, but, right? In the
one is prison? At Folsom, and okay. I'm not sure where the other one is. But they separated them because they were just too dangerous together.
Wow. I have not. It's not like I wasn't going to watch this Netflix special, the Monsters show.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the trial, and it's the same thing with OJ. When you live through a trial and you're inundated with it every yep. day, and Jay Leno's doing the Edo dancers, and you know Marcia Clark changed her hair, and oh, that she and the Christopher Darden might have a thing going. It had mm-hmm. its own drama within drama.
Yes, for
and
sure.
It was just so depressing when I first saw that case, and it was so depressing to someone who didn't know anybody involved. I'm like, I don't want to watch the trial, but even though I didn't watch the trial, I was inundated with information from it. This was so weird. The Menendez. Mm-hmm. I was like,
so sad.
I don't want to watch it. You know, I don't want to relive that. Like, why would I do that? Now, I was talked into watching the OJ, the thing with mm-hmm. David Schwimmer that they did.
I have not watched that, which I
should probably
watch it.
Really like.
Yeah,
it is very well done for what it is. But to me, it was a reenactment of what I had already seen. Mm-hmm. They aren't throwing any curveballs at you.
Right.
You know, they kind of they lead you to maybe have some compassion for this person where you didn't before. But it's not something I need to watch, I guess, you know?
See, my brain doesn't work that way. So when I just need to watch, and I'm going to call it garbage, trash TV.
Right.
And that's no disrespect of just mindless. But this turned out not to be mindless because my mind was like, oh my gosh, did they do it? Did they not do it? Did they do it?
Yeah.
Were they sexually abused? What was really going on with them?
And that was the first thing I thought was, well, they had to have been abused. And this has to be like an anger killing because why would two people do that unless they're both individually absolutely insane? And what are the odds of that happening? I mean, look, they've got their quirks.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Don't we all? I mean, we all. Such
but you
high
sound
standards.
Very judgy, Heather.
No. Sorry. Yes.
I'm kidding. No. I don't know. Conrad, are you going to watch that?
I really don't like those type of shows.
See, I love that stuff.
I'm more of a comedy guy.
What if Adam Sandler played one of the Menendez?
Well, then I'm in. I'm in.
Right.
I'm in then.
Happy Menendez Gilmore.
There you go.
What else are you watching? You got anything else good for us?
I also, on Netflix, I was kind of in the Netflix vein. Well, I had just wrapped up watching Nobody Wants This with Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
So good.
Tell I don't
so
know
good.
Much
I didn't know
that.
How much I needed this show until I. Now, this is normally
great.
What I watch. Like, true story. So it is Kristen Bell's character is a non-Christian who falls in love with a rabbi.
She's a non-Christian who falls in love with a rabbi. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she has a podcast and with her sister and they're cynical about men. And then she meets this rabbi and his rabbi family. She's a shitska. I don't know what the Jewish word for it is, but someone
Conrad
who's not
was ready with the dump button. Dude,
no, like, what is she saying? No. It's just this really light, beautiful love story that's based on a true love story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Were they both married or something?
Nope. Neither one of them was married. And they just, like, they found each other and they fell in love. And they're not supposed to. But what do you do when
Why weren't they supposed to?
Because she doesn't believe in God and he's Jewish. And she just has no religion. And Jewish families need to marry other Jewish families.
Other Jewish people.
When this, according to this story, and I
right.
know nothing about the Jewish religion, full disclosure.
Shame on you.
No.
Are you telling me you did not celebrate Rosh Hashanah?
I did not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I do. I'm not, you know, I had a lot more Jewish friends when I lived other places. There aren't
sure.
a ton of Jewish people in Northeast Wisconsin, but I sent out a few emails last week and my friends were like, sorry I didn't get back to you. I was celebrating Rosh Hashanah. And I had totally forgotten
right.
about the holiday because
mm-hmm.
we just, it's not on our radar here.
Yep.
But so, all right. What is that on? What's the Kristen Bell show?
Netflix.
All right. Wow.
They're both on Netflix.
All about Netflix.
Yep.
Okay.
Trying to get through The Bear right now as well, which I love The Bear.
What season are you on?
I'm on season 2 still.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chef.
I keep watching, and people talk like that. Everybody calls each other chef and chicken.
Neurotic chefs. That's a whole nother topic. That's a real thing.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. You could do a topic some night here of, like, things that people who've worked in the service industry of what things that chefs have done. Mm-hmm.
Like,
how weird
would it be? Could we talk about everything? Or?
I worked in a kitchen once, and I had a chef throw a fork that stuck in the back of my arm because he was so angry. Like, that's real. That's not fake.
What did you do, Heather?
I don't know. I did something that he thought was really stupid. There was language.
That's
like
not
there,
justifiable but, yeah, on any level.
But it was just, and then like after you have drinks and you're like, it's fine. It's just the service industry in really high stressful service industry places.
Mm-hmm. You know, I could use a little bit more of that at the places I eat at, where it seems like there's kind of a laissez-faire, let's get Peter's meal whenever.
Yeah. No, in that back kitchen, you don't know what's going on.
No, I don't know that I want to.
So you could be like, hey, I want to go back there.
I want to check it out. My guest is Heather Heil. She is the business development director at the Green Bay Children's Museum. Make sure you check out Boozeum October 25th.
October 25th, Friday.
And it's $8.
Cheap.
All the booze.
So
you, no, I'm kidding. All the booze, B-O-O-S, you can handle. They're going to have, what is it, Dippin' Dots?
Dippin' Dots. The Bayport Camp Club is coming, and they're going to have like six different activities, and one of them is the Dippin' Dots. So you actually get to make your own Dippin' Dots and then enjoy them.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go over your list. This is what I was going over earlier with Heather. I said, what should we talk about tonight? And
can
she sent
this
me
up?
This list. Yeah, show the stream. This is Heather's.
I don't know if they can like see that.
Maybe tilt it down a little bit.
Yeah.
This is Heather's like, okay, no. Not chicken scratch. You have good penmanship, but it's sort of like, here's what I'm reading. Like when you sent this to me. Yep. Soup walk, soup sister, French onion museum.
No, mushroom.
What? Oh, mushroom.
Okay. Yeah, that was my little
scratch. What is that? That's October 12th in Appleton. What are we looking at?
No, I just did a soup walk this past weekend in De Pere, and it was amazing. And they have one coming up in Appleton this weekend. There are still tickets available. If you have not done this, you actually are just walking around taste testing soup. It's unbelievable.
The old soup and walk.
And it's going to be a gorgeous weekend. And the money they raised to go to different charities. So like the De Pere one just did it to their food pantry. So.
Oh, that's so great.
Like fun stuff to do. So I usually just try to share with you what I've been up to, Pete. And what
I
you
love
find
it.
Interesting. Because I don't know. I just like to do interesting things.
After all this time, you still have no idea what my interests are, do you?
No, okay. None.
That's the way I like to keep it.
Okay, perfect.
What is this? This sounds interesting. Recent MKE plush velvet walls, Bryant's at random. What does that mean?
So we just went to Milwaukee and we went to Bryant's, which is the oldest cocktail lounge in Milwaukee.
Oh, I love it. Red velvet booths.
And they
had
their plush velvet walls.
That is so cool.
And it is unbelievable. 1938 was when they opened. Still original stuff. And you go in and there's no drink menu. You sit down and you tell them things that you like and they create cocktails for you. So really,
is this on the east side?
I'm not sure exactly where it's located. Yeah.
Okay.
So we went there and it was awesome.
It almost has like a speakeasy sound to it.
Totally.
Oh, I love that.
So good.
Milwaukee's such a great bar town.
Agreed.
Do you ever go to the Safe House?
I have not been to the Safe
House.
That is the one place in Milwaukee I have not been.
I don't know. Conrad, you went to school there. Did you ever make your way to the Safe House?
I never went to the Safe House.
We road tripped up there when I was in college at DePaul University from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Everybody said, you got to go to the Safe House. You got to road trip to Milwaukee. Everybody road tripped to Milwaukee anyway because it was Milwaukee. But it was, and I didn't know if it was still there. But
yeah, it's still there. Don't know the password, but
you'll find out.
I had it last year, and now I forgot.
We got to find out
what
the password.
What do you mean? Is it the same thing all the time?
I think it might be.
Yeah, I think it is.
This doesn't make sense. They don't change it periodically?
No, it's like one of those, I know.
It's no fun. All right, well, let's do another one here if we can get this before the break.
What do you want? Yeah.
The Ash Inside the Iron Horse Hotel. That sounds cool.
So this was a restaurant that we went to while we were there called The Ash, and their specialty is banana bread French toast. So we went there specifically for that. You need to get there early because they do sell out, but so much so that I didn't get it when I went there.
Oh, come on.
I know.
All right, so here's what I'll tease for our last segment. Heather will help us close this down. It is National, what is it, Conrad, Bathtub Day or Bathtub Day? So, I'm probably going to take a bath later just to celebrate. I do every night anyway with rose petals, but this says bath.
Sound bath.
Sound bath. All right, we'll talk about that next. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back to close this thing up on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, a Monday edition, ladies and gentlemen, on the Civic Media Radio Network. No more.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rehear a challenge to mail-in ballots with missing or inaccurate dates on the merits after dismissing the case on a technicality in September. But it also denied a GOP challenge of counties which notified mail-in voters of a mistake and allowed them to cure their ballots. Citing the U.S. Supreme Court's Purcell principle, the court ruled October 5th that these and most other voting-related cases were now too close to the election. This court will neither impose nor countenance substantial alterations to existing laws and procedures during the pendency of an ongoing election, it said. The missing date decision could affect tens of thousands of Pennsylvania voters who mistakenly don't date or misdate their mail-in ballots. Under the Commonwealth's law, those ballots are not counted. The ACLU has also appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court using the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which forbids minor mistakes from disqualifying a voter, but it is unclear when or if the High Court would consider the appeal. In her dissent, Chief Justice Deborah Todd wrote that the case would be an appropriate use of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's King's Bench power, saying, "Whereas here, the issue concerns the fundamental right to vote, and where the consequences of inaction risk undermining the electoral process, I deem it imperative to act now." We have the decisions at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Craig Kinnett checks in on the stream. He was here last Monday night, a week ago tonight, with Dan Davies promoting the giant spider invasion event in Wauwega at a really cool old opera house with director Bill Rubain, who is a Wisconsinite and directed the cult classic. And they had a big event last weekend. And Craig just dropped me a note that said, just want to let you know that our giant spider invasion event this weekend was a massive success. We nearly wore Bill right out, but Bill is 87, by the way. We nearly wore him right out, but he managed to last the entire night and had a twinkling in his eye the next day. Thank you so much for helping us get the word out. It was my pleasure, Craig. It was great to have you guys on the show and glad the event was a big success. I love stuff like that. Like
I do too. I'm like, why didn't I know about this? How awesome is that?
Well, you obviously weren't listening to Nightlight last Monday.
Well, I was kind of busy last week, remember? Had some stuff going on.
Yeah,
I love these experience-based things.
Agreed.
And when you have someone like Craig, who I'm like reading into this text, who are passionate about what they're doing, I'm all about that. I think that's amazing.
No, it's really cool. These guys didn't really, they had nothing to do with the film, but they met Bill later in Bill's life, and he lives in northern Wisconsin, and he makes his home there, and he shot this movie. And it's a, you know, it's a little campy, but it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's the epitome of a cult classic. So
love that.
Glad the event went well. All right.
Do it again. Do it again.
First of all, also, you said,
You said so many things.
I know.
Pete.
I don't want to say this because you just kind of said it during. You said you saw someone vomit.
Okay, I did.
Old fashioned.
A couple of people.
You left the best part of the story out, Heather.
Okay, I really try to be.
People vomiting is always entertaining
positive,
on the radio.
Positive person, and I'm like, I'm talking guilty. Okay, anyway, so I saw a couple of people that Old Fashioned Fest won them zero, and they didn't do so well. And I think maybe they were just so full and had a lot in their belly, so they weren't feeling
drinking
too good.
Those old fashions on an empty stomach.
All
that'll do it.
Sugar. Woo.
Yeah. And the fruit.
Yeah.
I mean,
all of the things.
This is making me have to grab one for the ride home. Maybe two. Bath sound therapy is on your notes here that we are deciphering. What is bath sound therapy? No, I think I kind of know, but please
sound
explain.
Bath therapy is something that's kind of a new concept where the singing bowls, have you seen these used in yoga? They're big bowls and they make music and chimes. And a friend of mine recently had a baby and she went to go back to work and realized how much health or child care was. And she thought, I'm not going to go back to work for that much money because I'm not going to work to pay for child care when I could raise my child. She ended up staying home. And in doing that, Pete, she kind of lost her professional self and lost who she was. And I think that a lot of people can relate to this when they stay home with their children of, okay, who am I? What do I want to do? And she started having some anxiety attacks and started doing this sound therapy. Fast forward, got herself certified, and now she's doing it here locally in Green Bay. And they do this all over
the country.
Wow. You do to do this because there's certain sound vibrations that do different things to your body. So she wants to, she's going to start doing it with us at the museum for moms and babies. And I'm really, really excited about this. So you can like check out that information on our website and Facebook if you're interested in doing that.
What is the website, by the way, that people could check that out on?
gbchildrensmuseum.org. So you can go check us out there and find out that information. But the sound bath therapy for any adults out there who don't have children or want to do it with their children, for high anxiety, stress bugs like myself, who just need to shut your minds off and just relax for 40 minutes, this is the way to go, my friends.
So is it like, does it like kind of hypnotize you? Is it a little bit like self-hypnosis or something? Or is it more of just
a meditation, I would say. And I can't because my brain is fireworks and you see my spider web notes here. But it's laying on a yoga mat for 40 minutes and just they give you a word to say in your head. So mine was like free. You just need to be free right now. Just be in this moment, be free. And I didn't think things were happening to me, but like at one point I like touched my face and I was like, why am I crying? I'm not sad. Wow. I'm not thinking of anything. I just like my body was just releasing emotions and it was just really an incredible thing. And it's going to be part of my self-care with a sound bath.
That's really cool. You know, I've done that like with meditation.
Yeah.
They give you a word and then you're supposed to say the word. And then when you stop, if your mind drifts a little bit, you start saying the word again and you pull it back and keep it inside you. Fascinating stuff. I've only done it once. It was 10 years ago, but I really swear by it now. I don't do that enough. You know what I mean? Because that is great. Like anything to get your mind off the rat race or all the stresses in your life is
if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of other people. So we need to like carve out that time. So that's why I wrote that note here of, if we were able to talk about it, of please just make sure you're whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
No, please just find that time to just, even if it's just sitting for a half an hour and playing a video game, whatever that thing is.
I got excited when I saw that note because I thought maybe it is National Bathtub Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't really know what that is or if we're supposed to celebrate maybe the shape of the tub or if it has two different spigots. I don't know. But it seemed like kind of a vague,
just
weird
thing.
Just
to celebrate that you can take a bath and we can be clean. And
true.
I don't know.
Conrad, do you take baths?
Occasionally.
Do you?
Maybe.
You prefer showers, though?
Yeah.
On a normal basis. But if you take a shower, like, do you do, like, bubbles? Do you do scents?
You mean a bath?
Be honest. Yeah. A bath.
Well, nah, I just put the regular soap in.
He just puts on the movie Salt Burn and soaks. Well, as a good soak.
I got one of those really, 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 really small tubs.
Oh.
So it's not that fun if you do take a bath.
He's like in the fetal position. Yeah.
No, that's yeah. Not that's
good. This was fun. All right. Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, on Nightlight, we have another great show. Patrick O'Donnell will be here. He is the founder of CopsAndWriters.com and a former Milwaukee cop. So we're going to talk to him about his books and his podcast. It's going to be great. And then Ben Reiser from the Wisconsin Film Festival joins us to talk about the Joker sequel. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Thank you to Heather Heil.
Thank you.
So much fun. And thank you to Mariah Gates. And thank you for all your texts. Been another great night here at Nightlight. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab. Good night, Wisconsin. I'll sing it to you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Earl Ingram Jr. joins us at 10:33. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review at 11. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin hits the road to take on the Scarlet Knights. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.